nice. John, one of the greatest records ever made for my money. Remember the night I put it on the air? Sounded so good, sounded so awesome. All right, so we are going to talk to Gavin Demoff, who is the COO of the Los Angeles Rams. As some people may know, I am part of the Ramily. In fact, one time I even got to do the Who's House. I did that at the Coliseum. I hope to someday do that at SoFi Stadium, where the Rams, for the first time, will play tomorrow night before a crowd. And joining us right now is the COO of the Los Angeles Rams, Gavin Demoff. Gavin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. We're 36 hours away, roughly, from having fans at SoFi Stadium. So what a great day this is.
Kevin, I tell people all the time that SoFi is one of the few places I've ever been, and I'm like you, I've worked my whole career in sports, where I can't really do it justice explaining it. You need to actually see it in order for me to convey how kind of grand it is. What part of SoFi have you found garners the biggest reaction? There's so much to see and so much to take in. Where are you getting most of the feedback for where people are being most impressed?
I think there are three things that normally hit. The first is the proximity of the seats to the field. There's not a bad seat in the building, despite being one of the largest stadiums in the world. It feels very intimate. Your seats are closer than anywhere else in the NFL. So I think there's those angles, those sight lines, the proximity of the field. Obviously, the Infinity Board hanging in the middle of the stadium, 70,000 square feet, 4K
the Oculus
video board, blows people away. It's not the Oculus. It's the Infinity Board. We had to change that name.
But, oh, you did? I'm sorry. You know,
what's it called now?
Yeah, but it works. It's not
the Infinity Board.
Okay, so we'll start calling it the Infinity Board.
Old habits die hard. I get that. So,
yes.
You know, and then, you know, I think the most important thing, and this is always what I feel when I'm there, what you can't convey to anybody else until you're actually in the building is how much like Southern California it feels. You're inside, you're looking at palm trees, the ocean breeze is coming through, you're in this covered building, but it feels like you're near the ocean, at the beach, about to watch a football game. And I think for fans, that will be something that will blow their mind tomorrow, just what an amazing feel it is inside the building. It's something, until you actually walk in, until you're sitting in it, you can't actually explain it.
So is SoFi considered indoors or is it considered outdoors? Because there's that big cross breeze, but there is a roof. What is the roof overhead?
So the roof overhead is a clear ETFE transparent roof that deflects the sun, but it's an outdoor building. It's considered outdoors. There are no walls in the stadium. Everything is completely outdoors. It's open air. So for every possibility, and especially in a COVID environment, it's considered an outdoor building.
So, Kevin, you may have just explained it, but let me just ask it bluntly. If it rains, does the field get wet? Do the stands get wet or no?
No, there might be a few stands that might get wet, but there's the roof covers everything in case of rain. So
okay. The
goal was protect the field and the fans from any elements that ever come to Southern California, and I hope it rains sometime soon. But you'll never get wet in our building. It is completely covered. Think of it as a covered patio. That's the best way to explain it.
Okay.
Now, as we get ready for this tomorrow night, you said 48 hours, not that you're – what did you say?
You said 36.
Hours?
36 hours. 36, and I'm actually looking at my clock. It's closer to 29. So.
29, there you go. Now, you're counting down. Are you nervous about the way fans are going to interact? Like, we've not really seen this. I was at that Vax Live concert, so I got a little bit of taste of what it's like with fans in there. Is this like a dress rehearsal for you guys tomorrow? How does that work?
Well, look, this is the first time people are going to be in the building. We did have, you know, 20,000-plus for the open practice, and people got a chance to feel that out. But certainly this is the first time. This is the first large event at SoFi Stadium. So it's not a dress rehearsal. It's real. And we're going to do the best we can to learn the building, have a great fan experience. I think there are things going to be, for the first time in the stadium, you know, given COVID restrictions, there may be some hiccups here and there that, you know, we'll try to address quickly before the Raiders. And obviously, you know, we'll have another month from today before we open the regular season against Sunday, September 12th against the Bears on Sunday night. So each game you get in this building is going to be a learning experience. But we've got to learn quickly. 6 months from today, we're hosting Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium. So there's a lot of learning that's going to happen over those next 6 months.
Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Rams, is with us. Kevin, what type of crowd are you expecting tomorrow night? Are you? It's a preseason game, so preseason games don't normally sell out, but this one could because SoFi hasn't been open. Are you expecting a full building? Are you even? I'm assuming that there's no social distancing, right? As long as you're vaccinated, you can get in. Or how does that all work?
Right. So there is no vaccination requirement. There is no social distancing. You have to wear. It's the exact same rules the Dodgers have right now. So at your seat, you don't have to wear a mask. If you're in a concourse or stay in the concession line, you do have to wear a mask. But there is no vaccination requirement, and we'll see how that, you know, adjust as time moves forward. But for attendance, you know, it's impossible to know. You know, building holds 70,000. That's, you know, close to where we're at now for a preseason game. Will all of those season ticket holders show up? I mean, I know Steve will be there.
Yes. Probably very early.
You never know who's, you never know who's traveling, who's not. But you can look back to our first game at the Coliseum 5 years ago. And granted, that was the first game back. And we had 80-something thousand show up for that preseason game. So, you know, we expect it'll be a large crowd. I have no idea, you know, how many will show up, but we'll be ready for whoever's there.
You know, let me ask you something. Kevin Demoff is with the COO of the our Los Angeles Rams. Of course, heard right here on 710 ESPN, flagship radio station for the Rams. John has brought this up a number of times, and I do think it's an interesting question. We've added one regular season game this year. So the season did get a game longer. There are fewer preseason games. We're not going to play any starters, at least according to Coach McVay.
And either are they, for the most part.
And neither are they, apparently, says Brandon State. What's the future of preseason games? Are they going to continue, do you think? Are we going to get away from that?
Look, obviously Sean has had a different approach to the preseason, really, since he got to Los Angeles, about using joint practices and scrimmages to get the starters ready and using preseason games to develop the backups and the remainder of the staff. Now, look, I think you can look 2 years ago. John Wolford's emergence came in the 2019 preseason. You know, he played great against the Broncos. He played really well against the Texans, and that gave us confidence, you know, that he could be the backup quarterback going into last year. He goes and starts week 17 last year. His only prior experience in the NFL had been in preseason. So there is a huge role for preseason in developing your second and your third team for those guys making a team. You know, how it affects the starters, I think everybody handles that differently. I watched the two games last night. Patriots and, you know, Washington football team played their starters a little. The Steelers and the Eagles did a little. Some won't. You know, Brandon Staley, certainly from his year with Sean, has embraced the resting the starters philosophy. I think each team can handle it on his own. I do think you need two or three games to get your team ready to get those undrafted and lower draft picks, you know, time on the field, time to gel, and really make those last, you know, 8 to 10 roster spots competitive. So I think for now at 20 games, you're going to see 17 regular season, and I assume you'll see 3 preseason games, you know, moving forward. Could that ultimately go down to 2 games? It could, but I think everybody right now is really pleased with the 3 games.
All right, Kevin, you mentioned, we're talking to Kevin Demoff, you mentioned that the Super Bowl is coming to SoFi Stadium in February. So you're going to be busy between now and then, probably working on Super Bowl-related stuff almost every day. What's the biggest tackle of that job? What is, as the guy who runs, for lack of a better word, the host team of the Super Bowl, I know the Chargers are doing it with you, but what's the biggest part of that job for you and the other people in the front office of the Rams?
Well, look, I think we're fortunate. Casey Wasserman, who obviously has done an amazing job bringing the Olympics, is our Super Bowl host committee chair. Kathy Sloshman, who runs the LA Sports Entertainment Commission, is basically the day-to-day operations in leading the Super Bowl hosting effort. So I think for all of us, it's supporting the two of them. It's interfacing with the NFL to make sure we're delivering upon their expectations. It's working with our partners and season ticket holders and suite holders to make sure, you know, they have every opportunity to take advantage of the Super Bowl being in Los Angeles for the first time in 30 years. And then it's making sure that all the events from NFL Honors, which will be hosted at YouTube Theater, you know, to the game, to NFL Experience, that they go off without a hitch. So it's a collective effort that takes everybody from LA Tourism, LA Sports Entertainment Commission, Casey and his group, you know, the Rams, SoFi Stadium, to make it come together. And I think the most important thing is that everybody in Los Angeles really be able to experience something around the Super Bowl, whether it's the free events downtown, whether it's the game, whether it's the parties, that everybody here feels like the Super Bowl, you know, made their lives better. And this is going to be the largest tourism impact to Southern California since the 1984 Olympics. So it's filling those hotels, filling those restaurants, creating jobs, and helping everybody emerge from the pandemic stronger in this city.
Let me ask you a football question. So Cam Akers sadly goes down, is lost for the year. Darrell Henderson is on the depth chart, the number one running back right now. Do you anticipate finding reinforcements? I know Jake Funk is going to play tomorrow night, who is like a seventh-round draft pick and figures into the picture somehow. But do you feel like this is the group of running backs we go into the season with?
Yeah, that's a great question for Sean Lewis. I know when Cam got hurt, we were all disappointed for Cam, but still feel confident, you know, in the running back room. The approach that, you know, Sean Lewis really outlined, which I think makes sense, is to take this group through the preseason, watch them in practices, watch them in scrimmages. All three backs had good practices against the Cowboys. You know, last Saturday, Xavier Jones, Jake Funk, Raymond Calais all showed up at different points. So I think it's continuing to see that, and then also continuing to monitor what happens, you know, throughout the NFL, you know, in these preseason games. And as you get down to, you know, the waiver wire and cut downs, what might make themselves available. If there's something that makes our team better, you know, Les is never going to be shy about exploring a trade or a move. And if we feel really good about our group, then we'll roll with that. But I think, you know, the next month will really determine that approach, and excited to see what, you know, Darrell, Xavier, Jake, Raymond, OJ Anderson, what they all do together.
All right, Kevin, last thing for me is, are people going to the game tomorrow night going to see the full SoFi experience? Is everything, like when we toured that building with you, that, I mean, there's just so much stuff. Is everything open tomorrow night for the preseason? Are you gonna kind of gradually open up stuff as the season goes along, or what's tomorrow night going to be like for the fans who do have tickets?
No, everything will be open tomorrow. Tomorrow is, as I said, it's not a dress rehearsal. It's not a soft opening. We're going guns blazing. Now, will there be things that we'll make operational for the regular season, maybe a few more events or things around the stadium? Yes, I just think as we learn the building, you know, and bring those things to life, you know, that certainly, you know, could happen. There may be a few concession stands tomorrow night that are, you know, limited based on trying to make the line shorter, get people in and out, which are really more COVID changes that we've made for the preseason, which we'll evaluate, you know, getting into the regular season. But I think if you come tomorrow night, you're going to see, you know, bells and whistles, and it'll only get better from there.
So my biggest highlight of the year 2019, Kevin, was when I got to go down on the field. I brought my mom with me, by the way. She was thrilled. And I got to do, "Whose House?" And it was, and I've been practicing. I've been rehearsing for a long time. The line can be tricky. Is at some point, is there an opportunity for me to be the Whose House guy? And, or have we elevated to the point where it's going to be all super famous people?
If I remember correctly, we lost the game.
You did. You did. I was going to point that out. I think you have to take him off the list, Kevin.
So there is no chance in hell we will let you take another shot.
Wow.
Hey, the
that
victor
is rough,
gets
man.
The spoils. You lose, you're out.
Well,
I like it, Kevin.
I will just be the guy that from my section yells, "Rams House" all the time.
Perfect.
With Sam Lugano calling it out.
You know, the good news is we tend to have a pretty good record at home, so I remember when it goes badly, and I circle the people who contributed to that. I believe it was the Buccaneers game that you did it at.
And it was the worst we've played at home since the Rams came back.
Oh, God.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can draw your own inference. But,
yes.
I see a high correlation.
All right. Well, listen, I will be there no matter what tomorrow night. I can't wait to see the seats for the first time. Can't wait to see Rams football. I'm super excited about it. I know L.A. is. I've emphasized to people.
Oh, hey, Kevin, what time do the gates open? What time can people get there?
Gates open at 5 o'clock, I believe, tomorrow night.
Okay, cool.
Double check. Go to therams.com to double check that. Sometimes the boss doesn't always know. But, you know, I believe parking lots open at 3 and gates open at 5.
Kevin, I've checked that myself. I will be there at 5 o'clock, ready for the game. Thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Thank
Congratulations
you,
on getting this. We're excited for tomorrow night.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, there's Kevin Demoff, the COO of the Los Angeles Rams.
By the way, that takes gonads for you to ask to do it again after they got killed the last time you did it.
Were we killed? I need to go back.
Are you
and
kidding?
Check
I think Tampa Bay
schedule.
Scored 48 points on the Rams.
Is that right?
At the Coliseum. Yeah.
God, I have no recollection
they
of that.
Got,
Why do you think I don't remember?
They completely blew the Rams out.
Wow. That is crazy. Because I saw Danny Trejo lose
and
a game.
And your guy, Jared Goff, just kept throwing him the ball.
Yes, he did. But he's gone, John. Out
by the way,
with
Jared
the old,
Goff,
in with the new.
Jared Goff, Lions debut tonight, I think.
I was listening to the mid-morning spectacular today with Sliwa and Kirk Morrison, and they were talking about Jared Goff being with the Lions, and I guess Anthony Lynn, former Chargers head coach, is the offensive coordinator for the Lions. And I pointed out to them that October the 21st, the Lions are at SoFi Stadium.
Is it against the Rams or the Chargers?
No, the Rams. It is Lions at Rams October the 21st. So we will actually see Jared Goff versus Matthew Stafford in a game this year at SoFi Stadium. All right, coming up next for you. John, if I'm not mistaken, you are left-handed.
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
I've always chalked it up to you being left-handed.
I am not left-handed.
Oh, he was adamant that he wanted to bring up National Left-Handers Day.
Well, you can bring it up all you want. I'm not left-handed.
Yeah, no, I want to talk about National Left-Handers Day because a lot of presidents turn out to be left-handed, like Obama, Reagan, Clinton, all left-handed. Is there something to being left-handed? Are you smarter? Are you more gifted? Are you more talented? Or is it just you're using the wrong hand? That's coming up for you. Plus, John, the man who ate 32,300 Big Macs.
Yeah, I'm glad that guy's still alive.
Man after my own heart. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ES.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
The end. Hey, guys. It's Friday. It's Effit Friday. I was just tweeting. I promised and I forgot to tweet out a picture of the painting that I did that
I am the most proud of.
Yeah, just sent it out. Just sent it out. So, John, there's a gentleman by the name of Donald Gorski, and he is the official Guinness World Record holder for most Big Macs eaten in a lifetime.
Okay.
He has eaten 32,000, and this was as of this date, 32,340 Big Macs. The moment he got his car in Wisconsin back in 1972, immediately drove to McDonald's and got 3 Big Macs. Since then, he has eaten up to 6 Big Macs a day and now eats 2 every single day. He saves the receipt and the box to prove that he's actually eaten this many Big Macs. Now, for me, the Big Mac is, and I know this is controversial in the land of In-N-Out, to me, a Big Mac is my favorite fast food burger. I just love the junkiness of it. I love the special sauce. I love that extra piece of bread. I'm totally into Big Macs. What do you think of this guy? 32,300 Big Macs.
All right. Did you ever see the documentary Super Size Me?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So basically, what Super Size Me was there was a documentarian named Morgan Spurlock, I think.
Morgan Spurlock. Yep, that was his name.
He ate at McDonald's 3 times a day, eating everything on the menu at least once.
Yeah, he only ate McDonald's.
Right. It turned out to be one of the unhealthiest things a human being can possibly do. The fact that you are celebrating this dude eating 3,000 Big Macs.
I'm sorry. I just want to be clear. 32,000 Big Macs.
Like way more than 3,000 Big
Correct.
Macs.
Way more.
is ridiculous. It's unhealthy. He's a dope. Tell this guy to work in a salad every once in a while.
Now, what's interesting about this guy is that he's not overweight. He's a thin guy.
So
one does not go along with the other. Like,
I was going to say, don't they say that the Big Mac is one of the more healthier items on McDonald's menu?
Yeah, how many calories in a Big Mac? Calories in a Big Mac.
I just looked up
563.
Okay, I just looked up. That's not that many, by
the
way.
No, it's not bad.
I just looked up Morgan Spurlock when he did his Super Size Me thing, where he ate every day at McDonald's for it a month or 3 months? I think it was a month.
I think it was 1 month.
He gained 9 pounds. He experienced depression, lethargy, headaches. His doctor describes him as being addicted. At his second weigh-in, that was after 5 days. At his second weigh-in, he'd gained another 8 pounds. So he started at 185. He then went to 203. Because he could only eat McDonald's food for the entire month, he didn't take any medication. He lost muscle mass. He gained 17 pounds in 12 days. He had heart palpitations. And his doctor finally advised him to stop what he was doing immediately to avoid any health problems. He compared what Spurlock did to what Nicolas Cage does in Leaving Las Vegas when he intentionally drinks himself to death in a matter of weeks. 32,000 Big Macs is way over the top. I mean, if you want to have a Big Mac once a week, Mace, because you like them, great.
Oh, love them. Love
32,000 Big Macs is nothing to celebrate. I hope dude is dealing with a nutritionist or having something, because it's dangerous to eat that many Big Macs.
Yeah, first of all, I just tweeted out a picture of this guy along with a link to the story. He's actually laying on a bunch of Big Macs, so this thing was completely staged. the thing that's amazing about it is he saves every Big Mac box that he
What's
eats.
He do with them?
He's got them all stacked up. It's to prove to the Guinness people that he's actually eating as many Big Macs as he is. But he's a thin guy. And by the way, I always thought Morgan Spurlock was a little bit full of crap.
I always
thought that documentary was a little bit faked up.
What,
I have nothing against Morgan.
Why would he make it up?
Because he was overeating at McDonald's. He wasn't eating 2 Big Macs a day. He was eating like 5
McMuffins. No, he ate every meal at McDonald's.
Correct, but he overate. He didn't eat normal portions.
You don't think 32,000 Big Macs is overeating?
Guy looks okay. It's been since 1970.
I was going to say, it's spread out over time, right?
You can't tell if he looks okay. He's lying with his back on a pile of Big Macs.
1972. You got to figure out that how many is that, 40 years that he's been doing this?
50.
72, 82, 92, 2000.
Over 50 years.
Yeah. So he's been doing it that long. And he still looks okay. Needs a haircut, but still looks okay.
Bill Maher talks about this all the time. For some reason in this country, we're afraid to address obesity and people who don't eat right. Because, like, we did it yesterday when we did the coaches thing, when we were talking about Skip Bayless, and you said, you can't fat shame a coach. Why can't we talk about people that eat too much and it being unhealthy?
Because it's not your business.
But wait a minute.
It's not. And by the way, I watched Bill Maher. It's not Bill Maher's business either. It's not his business.
Wait a minute.
If the lady in the restaurant he views as overweight, it's not his business.
What if his
intentions? He goes on rants about this.
Right. What if his intentions are good though? What if his intentions are? Look,
there are no good intentions. What good intentions?
I was getting ready to tell you until you interrupted me. The Bill Maher's point is: look, the healthcare system is overtaxed, and a lot of the health problems people are having as a result of not eating right. And 32,000 Big Macs is not eating right.
You want to know what the problem is? The problem is that the doctors are the people that need to be telling their patients to eat better and put an emphasis on nutrition instead of giving people pills for this and that.
That's the problem. It's not my problem
or your problem or Bill Maher's problem to comment on other people's health habits and whether or not they're overweight. Trust me, overweight people know they're overweight. You don't need to tell them that.
I know.
Bill Maher, I love, but he annoys me on a few counts. One, The whole atheist thing, when he attacks somebody else's faith, it really pisses me off. Second, this whole thing about blaming and shaming people because they're overweight.
Okay,
two
let's
things
take
that
the
are not acceptable.
Let's take the blaming and shaming out of it and just have a conversation about whether or not it's okay to talk to people about their eating habits. All right?
No.
Why? Why is it not okay for me to say,
because it's not your business.
Lindsay, I want you to be healthy. I want you to live a long life. My intentions are that. I want you to live your best life and be healthy and stay off the pills you talked about and stay out of the hospital. If that is my goal, why can't I say to you, Lindsay, don't eat 32,000 Big Macs?
Because it's not your business what I eat. It's just not. And I know that you might say that you have good intentions, but, like, that's not appropriate. It's not your business. And, again, I say this coming from a person who, like, I would be really offended if somebody said something like that to me. Because it's like, yeah, if I'm overweight, like, don't you think I know that? Don't you think I've tried? Don't you think that this is obviously a lot more difficult than something just as simple as, oh, you got to eat better? Because
right.
Then you get into,
but
you get
do you,
into
Lindsay,
the
do
cost
you,
whatever
of food
happened
and
to
the
you
time it
be
costs to
you,
properly
John.
Shop. And,
well,
yeah.
Here, no, here's the thing. You can be you. I don't, you know, you can live the life you want to live. But Mace, you are celebrating a guy who ate 32,000 Big Macs.
It's cool.
And
it's
not
a cool story.
It's not cool.
I'm
it's
not
the opposite of cool.
It's a cool story. I'm in the cool story business.
No,
it's, a cool
it's
story.
Not a cool story. It's
There's a really
it's a,
cool picture.
It's a red flag story. And this picture with him lying on a pile of how many Big Macs is that? I don't know. But is not something we should encourage other people to do. It's just not.
If you think
I don't
about
know if he's
it,
really
logic.
Encouraging it.
Yeah,
well, Mason is.
No, I'm not I think this guy is a major accomplishment.
What? Nope.
And by the way, a Big Mac has 563 calories. If he eats two a day, that's 1,100 calories. That is not a crazy amount of calories to have.
If you ate 32,000 Big Macs,
yes.
I would not
over the
tell,
course of 50 years.
Yeah, I would not tell you that's an accomplishment. I would tell you that's a habit you should break. It's not good for you.
Yeah, I just think this falls into the none of your business category. None
okay.
of your business, Bill Maher.
We
none
should,
of your business.
We should take some calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Is what this guy doing, as Mason says, an accomplishment and a cool story? Or is it, as what I say, it's a red alert and somebody should tell this guy to live a better life? I can't imagine that people think 32,000 Big Macs is something to be celebrated.
It is cool. It's a cool
it's
story.
It's the opposite of cool.
Yeah, totally cool story.
All right, 877-710-ESPN.
Yeah, we'll get some of your calls in. Plus, I did put out a tweet with the painting that I am most proud of.
I have looked at it, and I am ready with my review whenever
All right.
you want it.
Excellent. That is coming up for you, too. Mace, and then Radio Tinder, 245. Show's flying by. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Hey,
Radio Tinder, 15 minutes away.
Mason, do you know what triskaidekaphobia is?
Fear of Friday the 13th?
How did you know that?
Because it happens, because it sounds like triskaidekaphobia sounds like, doesn't that sound like the number 13?
Sounds like you Googled it. That's what it sounds
no,
like.
How could I Google it that fast?
I feel like
what
that would be
think?
Way
I'm
too fast.
I'm the fastest
yeah.
Google in the West? No.
Yeah, I've never heard
That's
of that.
That's Michael Thompson.
Yeah, Michael and maybe Jorge, according to Laura.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Laura's just trying to talk smack, man. Laura's wrong.
all right, real quick, before we get your calls, 877-710-ESPN on this Big Mac thing. So, John, I tweeted out, we talked earlier, last hour, about the fact that I consider myself to be artistic. I've painted a number of paintings in my lifetime, and I've tweeted out a picture of the one that I like the best. So, you said you have a review. Let her rip.
Okay. So, first of all, I don't want to in any way stifle your passion or your creativity. I think it's great that this is something that you do. How long ago did you paint this painting?
This is probably a Mason from 1998.
Okay. Do you still occasionally dabble?
I do. I've been doing a little Jackson Pollocky kind of thing.
Okay. But you claim this is an original.
It is an original, yes.
Okay.
Do you think I made it up? It says Mason right on it.
No, because part of my review... Yeah, I like the fact that you put Mason in the corner. Part of my review is, it looks like you painted by numbers.
Oh, stop it!
It does. And your leaves...
That's a compliment!
I know! Your leaves on your plant look like dinosaur paws. But having said that, the backdrop, the black wall in the back is very good. And I don't know, because I wouldn't know how to do it. I don't know how you got depth in this painting. In other words, I can tell that the wall is in the back.
Yep.
And the...
The shadows are there. The shadow with
right,
that one and the shadow the, with the pot.
The vase is on the table. So I would say, based on what I was expecting, I give you a solid B.
A solid B. I'll take that. A solid B. Linz, have you seen it?
Yeah, I think it's probably it's a B.
It's a B. Okay, I'll take that. A very casual B. Jorge, have you seen it?
I mean, it's good. It's just nothing, okay. You know, it's nothing
Lindsay,
spectacular,
do you agree with me?
But it's nothing terrible.
Do you agree with me that the leaves look like dinosaur paws?
Well, I've never seen a dinosaur's paw. But if you're basing it on artist renderings, yeah, I guess I could see that.
I guess it is.
But Mace, it could have been. I mean, a solid B is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
I'll take it. Absolutely. Once I'm done with golf, and that day is coming, I'll go back to painting.
Okay. A lot of people want to react to our disagreement over the Big Mac guy.
Yeah. So guy in Wisconsin has eaten 32,040 Big Macs. Since he started in 1972, since he got his first car. John says, we shouldn't celebrate this guy. There are too many overweight people in the world, and we should butt our noses into everybody's business.
That's not what I said, but you shouldn't you shouldn't celebrate this guy and do what you're doing and saying, and I'll use your words exactly, it's cool and it's
cool.
An accomplishment.
Yes.
It's the opposite.
He's got a Guinness Book of World Records.
It's uncool. And it's unhealthy. Here's Joe in Garden Grove. Hey, Joe, what do you think?
Hey, guys. John, you got to let it go. It's not your business. If that's what's wrong with this world today. Everybody's in everybody's business.
Joe,
is
it cool and is it an accomplishment?
That for him, it's an accomplishment, not
right.
For me.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, it's like if I want to eat donuts three meals a day and drink 5 2-liter bottles of Pepsi every day, that's my business. Nobody else's business.
Amen. That's your business.
Okay, Joe, thanks for the call. Here's Scott in Riverside. Scott, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm kind of in the middle with this.
Okay.
It is a hell of an accomplishment, but, dude, that's just not right. I mean, seriously, bro, how can you eat 32,000 Big Macs and still be alive?
Yeah,
but
I don't
Scott,
get it.
And by the way, the guy's skinny.
He did it over 50 years.
Yeah, it's been
50 years. I get that, but I'm a guy that suffers from high cholesterol, man.
Yeah, you would not, Scott, you would not be able to survive on this dude's
diet. I'm part of the Lipitor.
No, there's no way.
Actually,
no way in hell.
Again, according to McDonald's website, a Big Mac is only 550 calories, which is just over a quarter of the calories
I get, Linz, I get the calorie thing, but you got to look at the fat calorie in it. That's what you got to look at.
Thank you, Scott, for the phone call.
I'm on a keto diet. It's all I eat is fat, and I'm fine.
Yeah, but you're not overweight. Ben in Long Beach. Hey, Ben, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, guys? I'm just cracking up at everyone else's take on it. Number one, I just want to say I'm not surprised that he's from Wisconsin. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yep.
I love Wisconsin. My girlfriend's from Wisconsin, and I love Wisconsin people, but that does not surprise me at all. But I think I'm kind of in the middle, just like the last call. I think it's kind of an accomplishment, but at the same time, it's crazy. How could you eat the same meal every day, twice a day? Like, go to In-N-Out, switch it up, hit Jack in the Box. Like, how are you eating McDonald's every day? Like, I can't fathom that. Like,
but you're not gonna tell the guy you're being unhealthy. You must stop.
I would.
I mean, hey, if he wants to do what he wants to do, hey, let him do it. Personally, if I could do it, I would. If I had to do it, I would choose In-N-Out the rest of my life. I would not do McDonald's.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ben. I
would choose exactly his sandwich. By the way, the Big Mac would be my sandwich if I had to eat two a day for the rest of my life.
Here's Mike in Los Alamitos. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, I keep hearing it's not my business, not my business. But yes. I feel like if you're using up my tax dollars and my health care resources on a health problem that you intentionally created yourself, I think it is kind of my business.
Well, that's the Bill Maher argument.
You obviously have no health problems at all.
But not that he's eating 32,000 Big Macs to cause. That's
the guy eating one and a half Big Mac a day, which is what it averages out to be, is not causing him health problems. You know how many people eat their own food that they cook in their own kitchens every single day that's way less healthy than that?
Obesity is not a problem. I agree.
Obesity is a problem, but honestly, you've got to deal with it yourself. People that are suffering from obesity or dealing with obesity, they know. They already know. They've tried.
Right, but
they've done lots of things to try.
There's a difference between those people, and I agree, you're right, those people exist, and celebrating a guy for eating 32,000 Big Macs. Here's Alejandro in Montebello. Hey, Alejandro, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm great, John. Alejandro.
I think some people got to be shamed into being skinny because it's just the fact that it's now. Let's not take the people that have a medical problem into consideration. Let's just think of the people that just choose this path, just like Mason when he gloats about his donuts, but
yep.
Then he doesn't want to be laughed at because he's getting a little bit chubbier. So I mean,
yes.
there's a contradiction right there.
Well, how much do you weigh? How much do you weigh, Alejandro?
I'm 180.
And how tall are you?
How tall are you? 5'8".
Yeah, so, you're probably within the healthy range.
It's the behavior. It's the behavior. That's what it is. It's the behavior. Like, for instance, you gloat about always eating donuts.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I love donuts, and I'm honest about it. And John has never said quit. Well, I guess you have said quit eating donuts.
No, I wish you
Morales
would quit eating
your
donuts.
Morales touched stomach, though, right?
Yeah, Morales did touch my stomach and say, we
got
to
okay,
get
and
this
you got
under
offended
control.
When you should already kind of be like, yeah, I am chubby.
Right, because
why did you get offended then?
Because it's none of his business.
So,
that's why.
Okay.
But he can see it. He can see it.
Thanks, Alejandro, for the phone call.
Thanks, Alejandro.
I have a friend of mine who, until recently, smokes.
Yes.
Okay? And so over the course of a few years, I have said, in not a naggy way, but I said, you know, it's my goal that one of these days I can get you to quit. And he goes, I know. I go, so what do I got to do? And it became like a running joke. And about 6 months ago, he said to me, hey, have you noticed I haven't had a cigarette in like a month? Mm. And I went, I have noticed. I didn't want to bring it up. And he goes, yeah, enough people like you kind of guilted me into quitting and I'm really happy. So
yeah.
Did I do something wrong there?
That's not the same thing as
it's exactly
telling somebody
the same
you
thing.
Shouldn't be. No, it's not, because eating is something you need to do to live. And how many people do you think eat badly because of time, because they're taking care of their kids, or because they don't have the money to buy the more expensive shoes?
Right.
Yeah,
but Lindsay,
do I need to eat?
It's totally different.
Do I need to eat 32,000 Big Macs to live?
Over 50 years? I don't think it's something to be ashamed of.
It's really not that big of a deal if you look at the other stuff that if you put them in the majority of what people eat, let's say people who are overweight, which we don't even think this guy is, and you look at what they eat because of what they cook in their own house versus, you know, a regular meal, whether it's they're eating Taco Bell and, you know, a mixture of that and In-N-Out and McDonald's every day, like they're two it's two completely different things, smoking and eating. You cannot compare the two because they're, yeah, they're just
basically
not the
same. Fast, John, you watch games. Most commercials are for fast food places or insurance companies.
A lot of
right?
them, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, it's basically
for cars.
Yeah, exactly. So there are a multitude of fast food places. America does spend a lot of time eating fast food.
Of course.
This guy just eats the same fast food every day. He's no different from the rest of us. And
Agree to disagree. You think it's an accomplishment that should be celebrated? I think he needs to be stopped.
Yeah. Budinsky. You're a Budinsky.
Well, no, I'm not butting in. I'm just saying I don't want to celebrate it.
Not butting in. You're totally butting in.
You brought it up. I said it's not a cool story and it shouldn't
those.
Be celebrated.
Yeah.
And by the way, the next time you order donuts, I want you to think that I'm nagging you not to order them.
You know, from now on, I'm going to text you every time I order donuts.
You should, and I'm going to send you a picture of somebody that's like on a gurney.
There's no gurney emoji.
I know. I'm going to find a picture of a guy on a gurney. I'm going to say, stop now.
All right. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Man, this show's flying by today. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Lindsay, what's one great reason people should follow you on Instagram?
I was thinking that since you posted your painting, that maybe I'll post a photo of the painting that I did during one of those, like, what was it, paint and pour or paint
you,
and sip?
Did you make a bowl or something?
No, I painted a picture, and it's like this weird artsy
Let's see it.
Picture.
Let's
okay,
see it.
I'll post
that
on my Instagram.
At Lindsay Baseball.
I'll follow you when you get the crossbow. That's when I'll follow you.
Yeah, when you have a crossbow in your picture, then I'm going to definitely follow you.
I dug out my huge box of old pictures, and that's where I got the Sandy Koufax picture the other day. I dug out my box. I just haven't gone through them yet because I've been working a lot. You know, I'll get to it this weekend.
Okay,
I promise.
Cool.
All right, so... 16-year-old NBA veteran J.R. Smith is going back to college and he wants to play golf. Smith, who is 35, has enrolled at North Carolina A&T and intends to join the men's golf team as long as the NCAA approves it because he thinks he does have some eligibility left. Pro golfer Brooks Koepka tweeted encouragement to Smith today, writing to him, "Never too late. Congrats, J.R. Smith. This is awesome." Do you guys think that J.R. can work his way from collegiate golf to the PGA Tour? Swipe left or swipe right?
Why not is what I say. Swipe right. Stranger things have happened. You ever seen the movie Mace, The Rookie with Dennis Quaid?
Sure.
I love that movie.
I saw Dennis the other day over at the driving range.
Okay, so he basically plays Jimmy Morris, who was a high school baseball coach at a small town in Texas, and he had a cup of coffee in the minor leagues.
Yep.
But what he didn't realize was that somehow he had got his velocity back up. And when he was pitching to the kids, they said, "Man, I don't know, but you're throwing way harder than you think you are."
Right.
And they made him go to a tryout. And sure enough, he got into a game with the Rangers and then he got a contract with Tampa Bay. Who's to say J.R. Smith can't make it in golf? I say go for it.
Swipe right, not going to make it. The number of people that make it is so extremely rare. It is unlikely. Now, my question is, because he's played professional basketball, does he still have college eligibility in golf?
I would think so. Remember Jeremy Bloom was the football player at Colorado, but he wanted to go to the Olympics in a different sport, and they said,
"Yeah, well, once he got endorsement money for the other sport, he was kicked off the football team."
I think that you can play a different sport. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think you should.
I don't
be
know
able
though.
To.
I'm guessing.
I think he should be able to have a college experience, maybe that he didn't have. I will say this:
I heard he's a good golfer.
The thing about golf is, it's super hard. I can tell you firsthand. It's super hard. And the idea of J.R. Smith making, good for him. I hope he tries. But swipe right. I don't think it's happening.
Hey, and you know what? I'm looking, and I don't think that he didn't go to college. So he went to high school. He spent 5 years in high school because I think, I don't know the details of that. But he had to repeat his freshman year because he transferred. That's what happened.
Yeah, a lot of those athletes do what they call a gap year. And so they go to a different high school and they do a fifth year.
And he was on the 2004 McDonald's All-American team, and he made the decision to forego college to declare for the draft. So he never even went to college. So he should be eligible.
Yeah, he should be eligible. I agree. PGA Tour right, is a one. Big dream, but yeah. I'll swipe right.
I think he could do it. He's great. I love JR. He's a legend here in Cleveland.
And remember, guys, if when you turn 50, you can join the Senior Tour.
Yeah,
so, you know, if he could just – and he doesn't need money necessarily. So if he could just kick around the mini tours for 10, 15 years. Yeah, then he gets on the Senior Tour and he could, you know, make some dough.
In the words of a very good friend of mine, you are too old to start golfing.
Not true.
But he's been golfing for a while.
Oh, yeah, no. He's in his 30s. That's different. I picked up played my first nine holes, a month ago. So, yeah, I believe, John, you are on par to crush me in our golf match, which is coming up September 10th.
What is interesting is I am absolutely convinced of the opposite. I think it is not going to be close, and you're going to win by double-digit strokes.
Okay, so yesterday I shot 66.
Wait. Can we save this till after Radio Tinder?
We'll save
this.
I only have seven minutes. All right,
okay.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I want Lindsay to have her time.
Just so you guys know, there's a very interesting story about golf and fashion and how those rules are changing. It's a topic for a whole other day, but I'll send you the article.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's very interesting. All right, so did you guys know that Deborah Winger dropped out of the movie A League of Their Own because she did not want to act with Madonna? In a recent interview with The Telegraph, she explained that she was originally cast as Rockford Peach Dottie Henson. She spent 3 months training with the Chicago Cubs for the role, but then when Madonna was cast as All the Way May, Winger quit the movie, accusing director Penny Marshall of, quote, making an Elvis film. The role then went to Gina Davis, who completely crushed it, and I can't imagine that movie without her.
No.
Is there anyone out there who, if our boss, Amanda, paired you along with to do your job, that it would make you quit? Swipe left or swipe right?
This is more Mason. I can think of a handful of people that would make you quit. I could probably work with anybody, but for example, if they brought in Skip Bayless, would you do it or would you quit?
I'd probably quit.
If they brought in Dave Portnoy, who runs Barstool.
I'd quit right
away. See, I could work with anybody. I think that one thing that you can do is I feel like I can go toe-to-toe with any of those guys.
Yeah, but some of those people don't. I mean, Skip Bayless obviously has a platform. I don't think Dave Portnoy deserves to be on ESPN. They were already kicked off once.
Right, but I'm just saying, but the question was, is there anybody they could bring in that would make you quit?
Yeah.
I think there are several people that fit that description for you. I think for me, they could bring in the biggest whack job in the world, and I would just go toe-to-toe with them every day.
What about Alan Sliwa?
No.
Oh, well.
I'm just kidding.
Of course we wouldn't work with Alan Sliwa.
I would work with Slee. I kind of work with Slee.
Yeah, I like Slee. I'm very bummed because when I'm listening to the Travis and Slee show, the Mid-Morning Spectacular, sometimes I will text Travis with a question for Ask Slee, and he never uses my question.
I think you got to use, like, the Twitter hashtag. And get it to Emily.
I thought that works. Somehow I thought I would have a more direct line texting directly to Travis, but I will try to work through
Emily next time. All right,
By the way, J.R. Smith,
yep.
Going back to your first story, Lindsay, has a Transformers tattoo, Mace, so he'd be the first guy on the PGA Tour with a Transformers tattoo.
Mm.
That we know of.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Cut you off.
All right. According to a recent study done by NPR, many of us are actually addicted to our phones. So addiction is two parts, habit formation and self-control. Phone use is hard to control because it's routine for many, like grabbing a morning cup of coffee. And 31% of the participants' phone use was attributed to self-control problems. Do you consider yourself addicted to your phone? Swipe left or swipe right?
Mason's going to say swipe left, although I think, Mace, that if we took your phone away for a week, you would go stir crazy.
No, I wouldn't go because I have my laptop. I'm mostly a laptop guy. When it comes up on my phone, you've used the phone for X number of hours a week. It's always a really low number. But if you took away my laptop, I would go stir crazy in a hurry.
Now, I would love to disconnect for a while and not use my phone or my laptop. So I think I would be okay, but I'll tell you who wouldn't be is anyone who's my son's age.
Oh,
it's like taken off their arm. We took his phone away once when he did something, and literally it was like a death in his family. He like all he would do anything we asked him to do just so he could get his phone back. And that's why I think that that question is relevant. It's harder for anyone, I would think, under the age of 25 would have a coronary.
You know, it's funny. We are going to Costa Rica in a couple of weeks, and there is a debate now about how much media we will allow ourselves. And, you know, will we use
unplug, do it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think it would be great to get out of the matrix. You know, when you're in life and we're in this digital world and you're connected to everything at all times, you're watching TV, you're on your laptop, you're on your phone. It's like the Matrix. And it's time to take the right pill and step out of the Matrix. Which is it, the red pill? Red pill, I think.
Steps I can't
out,
remember. You got so my favorite matrix. Story about you and disconnecting is this.
One exception.
So one time Mason claimed, and he was super serious about it, that he and Juan were going to a place where they would be completely unreachable, that they would be completely disconnected. I went, wait a minute. No iPhone, no iWatch, no laptop, no nothing. He goes, nothing. I go, you can't get to me. If there's a death in your family, you cannot get to me. Nothing. And I said, like Ramona was filling in for Mason, I said, like 2 days into this, I go, I'm kind of proud of Mason. He's, you know, I look at him as somebody that like is addicted to all his Apple devices, and he left them all at home. Matter of fact, I think at one point I made you leave your phone with me for that week.
Yes, I did.
I said, I don't believe you. Leave me your phone. You go here. And you turned it off and threw it to me. He goes, I'll pick it up from you in a week. And so I was very proud of you. And Ramona goes, John, he made a fantasy baseball trade with me 10 minutes ago. I don't even know how you did it.
Fantasy baseball doesn't count. I did it on my laptop. Fantasy baseball is not included. That's not part of the Matrix.
Okay, so this in a related story to
this.
By the
way, it's red pill. I take the red pill and get out of the Matrix.
All right, here's something I cannot believe. So my mom is back east visiting her brother.
Yes.
And I called her today.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking to her, and she goes, hey, I'm talking to you on my watch. I went, what do you mean you're talking
She's
to me?
She's got an Apple Watch?
I go, what do you mean you're talking to me on your watch? She goes, I am. My phone is in the other room. I'm talking to my watch. I go, Mom, you can't figure out how to set an alarm clock.
She's like on Star
Trek. How are you talking to me? She goes, I don't know, but I am. Can you
Good
believe that?
Her.
My I can't say her age, but my older than your mom claimed has figured out how to talk on an Apple
Watch.
Well,
good for her. Good for her. Never stop learning. Never stop experimenting. But I'm thinking about taking the red pill when I go to Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. Right, Lindsay, you got one more? Or is that it?
That is all for Radio Tinder today. And make sure that you follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball, because I'm about to post my awesome painting picture.
Awesome. Okay. At Lindsay Baseball.
By the way, I only follow like 5 people on Instagram.
Yep.
And one of them is Lindsay.
There you go. Coming up next, got an update on Mookie Betts.
High praise.
Update on Mookie Betts.
Oh, is it good or bad?
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.